And welcome back to 10 Years Gone, the podcast where I look at movies that I haven't seen in 10 years or so, give or take a year or two. And this show is John Carpenter's Halloween from 1978. This is in celebration of Halloween itself and the movie that came out this past weekend, Halloween 2018, because it's a direct sequel to the original. So I guess instead of like Halloween 2 or Halloween Again or whatever, they just call it Halloween 2018. It's a good movie. You guys should go see it. Be fair warned, if you're not a big fan of Blumhouse or Blumhouse or however you pronounce his goddamn name, it's a Blumhouse movie. So if you're not into that or you're burnt out on Blumhouse, well, go back in and check this one out, because it's a pretty good movie, especially when Michael Myers starts doing the killing. But we're not here to talk about that movie. We're here to talk about John Carpenter's Halloween from 1978, the one he actually directed and wrote with Miss Deborah Hill. A little bit of pulling back the curtain, though. I would have had this cast out sooner, but I come to find out I've lost or let someone borrow and forgot who it was, so lost my copy of Halloween, and I had the 25th anniversary version, so I'm kind of upset. But I seen the Blu-ray at Walmart for like $20 and ended up downloading it off the internet. I mean, buying it. Yeah, that's what happened. I bought it. Yeah, that's right. That's right. And now we'll get into the cast really quick. Stars Donald Pleasence as Sam Loomis, Jamie Lee Curtis as Laurie Strode, Nancy Kiles, or credited in this movie as Nancy Loomis, played Annie, PJ Soles played Linda, Charles Cyphers played Sheriff Brackett, Kayla Richards played Lindsay, Brian Andrews played Tommy, and Nick Castle played The Shape himself, except for at age 23, which was played by Tony Moran, and at age 6, it was played by Will Sandin, S-A-N-D-I-N. And Judith Myers was played by Sandy Johnson. So, there's the cast for you. This is a $300,000 budget movie when it was first made. So, even back in the 70s, that's a very, very, very low budget movie. And I think 20,000 of it was spent on Donald Pleasence for 5 days of shooting. So, you know. So without further ado, we'll get into the movie proper right now. Movie starts off with a title card that says, Haddonfield, Illinois, 1963, Halloween night. And then it shows a Steadicam of a POV shot of apparently Michael. You find out later it's Michael, but you kind of figure it out when he looks in the window and then sees his sister making out with her boyfriend, and they talk about, oh, I thought I heard something. Oh, Michael's around somewhere. Oh, it's just Michael. Okay, we'll go upstairs. And they go upstairs and have one of the shortest sex periods that I think I've ever seen. Even my first time wasn't that fucking short. I at least know to prepare myself before I do any extraneous activities. You know, like, get the slippery one out first so you're not a one pump chump. But apparently his pump was good enough to where she's like, call me, and he's like, okay, whatever, and then leaves. So, after old boy leaves, you see Michael enter through, I think, a back door, the back door where the kitchen's at, opens the drawer, pulls out a big giant kitchen knife. The hands you see are Deborah Hill's hands, because there wasn't no one on the crew that had small enough hands that were believable enough to be children's hands. Except for her. And some of the pictures from back then, she was a little person. She wasn't too tall, you know, anyways, but back then she was pretty petite before she got older. So they used her hand as the little kid's hands, and then we see the shot go up the stairs, and then look down as it's already up the stairs, getting ready to enter Judith's room, I think. Yeah, Judith's room. She's sitting there brushing her hair, and then before little Michael gets in the room, he sees a clown mask, or his clown mask from his Halloween costume that he is still wearing. And he picks it up, puts it on, and now you've got the through the eyes look of a mask, a POV shot through a mask. And then he goes into Judith's room, and Judith's like, Michael, what are you doing? You're not supposed to be in here. And then stab, 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 stab. He stabs Judith. I don't know if they ever say in the movie, but it looks like at least 15 times. 15 times before she falls over, and then you get to see her boobers all bloody and dead. So they're not happy boobers, they're dead boobers. Which is one thing about this movie, the two times you see boobs, they're dead boobs or being killed boobs. So they're not like, ooh, boobs. They're just like, oh shit, she's getting killed. So I kind of do like that, where they unsexualize the nature of the movie that ends up getting sexualized later on in the copycats and sequels. Again, after Michael does business and kills his sister, He just slowly and calmly walks down the stairs and out the front door, and coincidentally enough, his parents are arriving home from wherever the hell they was at. And like I said, this isn't no Rob Zombie, you know, crazy parents and backwaters bullshit. This nice house in a nice neighborhood. They come pulling up in a nice looking car. It almost looks like an old Crown Vic or something like that. They come out. They got nice. Michael's parents come out, and then his dad's like, "Michael, what's going on?" And you see his hand cover the mask and pull it off, and then cut to him pulling the mask off. Little Michael holding a bloody knife, and then cut. Boom! Title screen. Halloween. We've already been through that because we already did that. That was the title card before we got to this. But it cuts to a title card that says October 30th, 1978. And you have Donald Pleasance and the nurse, I forget her name, and the nurse, Marion, M-A-R-I-O-N, played by Nancy Stevens. They're both Donald Pleasance, a.k.a. Dr. Loomis, and Marion, or Marion, Nancy Stevens, are in the car talking back and forth. And apparently this got Marion, all super nervous because she's chain-smoking like a motherfucker. But they're talking back and forth, and they're just like, she asked if what's going on and what to expect, and Dr. Loomis is like, as long as he's doped up, this, that, and the other, and when you get him in front of the judge, we want to shoot him full of Thorazine. And she's like, we'll be barely able to stand. And he's like, that's the idea. Because Dr. Loomis wants Michael Myers to stay locked up, because he knows what Michael is capable of. Because Sam Loomis has been Michael Myers' doctor for the past 11 years or so, give or take. Well, see, later on in the movie, he says 8, 6, so that's 15? No, it's 14, my bad, I had to do some quick math. But yeah, he knows what's going on, so they're driving up. She's super nervous, thinking that they're getting ready to transport a very dangerous criminal, which she's right, they're getting ready to transport fucking Michael Myers. And they're driving up, you know, small talk here and there. He's like, you're nervous? Yeah, I'm nervous. She lights like another the third or fourth cigarette on the drive up, which this place seems to have a long driveway, but, you know, she gets in her 3 to 4 cigarettes because, you know, she's chain smoking like a motherfucker. And as they pull up to the yard where the gate is and everything, they see all the inmates just walking around. Well, I forgot to mention, it's also raining, pissing and pouring, so all the inmates are outside in the yard walking around in the rain, just like doo-dee-doo, because, you know, they're psychos and misfits and whatnot. Well, not misfits, but they're mentally deranged, well, for the most part. They are in a sanitarium. Yeah, sanitarium, not a sanatorium, a sanitarium. A place for crazy people, not a place for sick. And as they're driving up, Marion asks, well, "They let them play outside?" And Donald Pleasance is like, "Well, Sam Loomis is like, no, they usually don't. Just pull up to the main gate. Just pull up to the main gate. Should I call somebody? No. Just pull up to the main gate." And they pull up to the main gate. Sam says, "Stay in the car, but keep your doors locked." Well, I don't know if he says that, but I would have. And he hops out, tries to get a hold of somebody on the telecom system, and she's just sitting in there lighting up her fifth cigarette. Good thing cigarettes were cheap back in the 70s. And as she's sitting there waiting for Sam Loomis to figure out what's going on, a hand comes from the roof and smashes the driver's side window on the door, which makes her scream when she jumps back, and then a hand reaches in, grabs her. She scuffles, ends up getting away from Michael Myers. Michael Myers, who's just in a hospital gown as of now. And you don't get to see his face. You just get to see him climb on the roof, smash the window, mess her hair up, pull her hat off. She jumps out the other side and runs away. And Michael Myers gets in the car and drives off. Which, the first time I seen this, I was like, well, how the fuck does he know how to drive? Glad I wasn't the only one, because the next scene, we have Sam Loomis screaming and yelling at the guy that runs Smith Grove Sanitarium. Smith Grove Sanitarium. And he's talking about, he broke out, jumped in the car, and drove away. And it's like, he can't drive. And Sam Loomis, well, he was doing bloody well good last night. Maybe somebody around here gave him lessons, and got in his car and drove off, heading towards Haddonfield. And because he knows where Michael's going. And no one believes him. Not even the guy that he was yelling at. Nobody believes he's going back to Haddonfield. They don't think he's, I guess, would say, dumb enough or risky enough to go back to where it all began. But we're talking about Michael Myers here. He is. I don't want to say he's dumb, but he's. Basically, he goes back to heaven. And then we're introduced proper to the cast of teenagers. Well, one teenager and the other ones are like in their early 20s because Jamie Lee Curtis was the only teenager playing a teenager. She was 19? Oh, I almost forgot a scene. I think this is before the sanitarium scene where Michael Myers... it's after the scene because Michael is in the house. You don't quite meet the cast of characters yet. I got a little ahead of myself. I'm sorry. But you do get to meet Jamie Lee Curtis's character, Laurie Strode, Tommy Doyle. I almost said Tommy Wallace. It's not Tommy Lee Wallace. It's Tommy Doyle. And they're walking down the street. And apparently they're walking a different way to school. Tommy Doyle asks, why are you walking to school this way, Laurie? And she's like, oh, I've got a drop a key off for my dad. Where at? Oh, up here at the old Myers house. You're not supposed to go in there. And, you know, he's all scared of it because it's a local haunted house, because the local legends and older kids have got him believing that it's a haunted house where the boogeyman lives. Funny thing is, he doesn't know how right he is. But the ever-defiant and quirky Laurie Strode goes, well, I gotta go up there and put a key up because someone's supposed to look at the house. You're not supposed to go up there. Watch me! And she goes up there, places the key under the doormat as we see a point-of-view shot from The Shape, Michael Myers, watching Laurie Strode put the key down and walk off. And this is the point where I think he picks his first victim, because he seems to watch her walk away and knows which way she's going. And then later, Tommy and Jamie part ways because he goes to a grade school and she goes to high school. It's either high school or college, but I'm pretty sure it's high school because she is 19. Well, she's supposed to be a teenager, so she's supposed to be like 17, 18. So she's going to high school. And as she's sitting in class, she sees a car sitting outside, and she's kind of stares at it, stares out the window as the teacher drones on about fate and this, that, and the other. And she looks, the teacher calls on her, she turns her head, she's like, yes ma'am, what's going on? And she said, could you answer the question? And she answers the question about how fate, how I forget who the people, the philosophers are, but one philosopher believes fate's a fixed destiny that you can't change, and the other philosophy believes you can change your fate by your actions through your life. And as she's saying that, she kind of pans over to the window and sees that the car that Michael Myers stole, the Smith Grove's sanitarium car with the decals and everything on it, which is kind of weird that nobody sees it just floating around town. But, you know, they are near Smith Grove's, apparently. Well, no, they're not, because it takes a little bit for Sam Loomis to get to town. But I guess nobody thinks any different of it being just kind of there. Haddonfield is like a quaint little town where it seems like people keep their doors unlocked during night while they sleep. So, class is over. School is out for the weekend. And Laurie, and PJ Souls's character, they meet up and they start walking away, and Annie, Nancy Loomis's character, catches up to him. He's like, you guys didn't wait for me. And he's like, we totally waited. Like, totally. Totally. Yeah, because Linda says totally a lot. Like, totally. I guess she's the movie's version of a Valley Girl. I thought Valley Girls were in the 80s, but this is 78, so maybe this movie helped usher in Valley Girls. Shame, shame, Halloween. Shame, shame. Then Laurie realizes she's forgot her chemistry book, and they're back and forth, and Linda's like, well, I forget my chemistry book, my math book, my history book, my English book. Hell, I forget all my books. Blah, blah, blah. And about that time, Michael Myers in his Smith Grove's sanitarium car speeds on by. Just zoom. And Annie's like, speed kills, jerk. So Michael slams on the brakes and just sits in the middle of the road for like 2 or 3 seconds while everybody stares ominously. It's like, is something going to happen? What's going on? And then slowly drives away. Laurie looks at Annie and goes, you're going to get us killed one day. And Linda's like, totally. Well, I almost forgot, before Michael slowly drives off, she says, kind of under her breath, and I'm pretty sure Michael can't hear it, unless if he has supernatural hearing, you never know, but I doubt it. She says, can't you just take a joke, man? And he slowly drives away, and then we have the old totally bit about getting killed and whatnot. And as they're walking down the street, Linda totally goes to her house, and then you have Annie and Laurie walking down the street, and you see, while Annie's not paying attention, Laurie's looking up, and you see Michael Myers step out from behind some hedges and just stare. And Laurie looks up and sees him staring, and looks over to Annie and says, Annie, look, someone's behind the bushes staring at us. And she says, oh yeah? Walks on over there. Oh yeah, I'm gonna get him, blah, blah, blah. Well, when she gets there, there's nobody behind the bush. But she says, Laurie, he wants to talk to you. He wants to take you out on a date, or something like that. And Laurie walks over, and there was nobody there. Ah, scared another one away, Laurie. And Laurie's like, I swear, he was standing right there. And Annie's like, it was probably just Old Man Jenkins, or I forget what she says. I said Old Man Jenkins because I thought of Scooby-Doo. But still, she's like, I bet you it's Old Man Jenkins. He's a pervert. He seems a little creepy or something like that. And then they part ways, and they part. But before they part ways, they make plans for the night because they find out, Annie and Lori find out that they're babysitting, like, across the street from each other, basically. And Linda's like, well, we could come over. We can come over. And Lori's like, well, no, not over here. But Annie's like, yeah, you come over here because I'm pretty sure I can pawn off Lindsay on Lori or she'll be in bed at a time or whatever. So yeah, you guys can come over and I'll have my boyfriend come over and we'll have fun. They set up their date and their meetings and whatnot, and they all separate ways. Like I said, Linda goes to her house first. You got the bush incident with Lori and Annie. Annie splits off to her house, and then Lori splits off to her, or not splits off, but walks into her house. Sees some kids trick-or-treating, gives herself a little smile about superstitions, and goes into her house and readies herself for the night. But as she's getting ready to lay down or ready herself or whatnot, she looks out the window and sees Michael Myers staring at her. Then the phone rings, and she turns away real quick and turns back. Michael's gone. And then she picks up the phone, and you hear... And Lori freaks out, screams on the phone, screams at her and says, who is this? Blah, blah, blah. And then hangs up on her. And then Annie calls back, because that's who it was, and was like, yeah, why'd you hang up on me? Why didn't you say anything, Annie? And she's like, well, I was chewing on something. Oh, well, okay. And Annie's like, well, I got my mom's car, so I'll come pick you up at 6. All right, see you at 6. And Lori lays down. 6 o'clock rolls around, and she gets picked up by Annie. And something that people don't talk about, and they just kind of gloss over, our heroine in this movie, spoiler alert, Lori Strode, is smoking a joint with her friend Annie, because they're driving around in a nice roly-poly, and they come up on their, because when I first saw it, I thought they were just sharing a cigarette for some odd reason. I was also little, but they're coming up on the, they're driving around, and as they're driving around, they turn a corner, and Annie sees her dad. So, oh my god, my dad, put that out, stop coughing, and Jamie Lee's, Laurie Strode's coughing, and they pull up, they tap it out, and hide it, and pull up, and find out what's going on, and come to find out, someone stole some masks from the store. And as they're driving away, Lori's like, did you smell it? You see the look on his face? I know he had to smell it. And Annie's like, no, he didn't smell it. It'll be all right. And whatever. And then they go on and do their thing. Or they drive off. And then about that time, you see Sam Loomis come up, and he's talking to Sheriff. And the Sheriff's like, well, I got a robbery. And he's like, oh, I'll wait. I'll be here. Then we see Annie drop off Lori at her house. And then Annie drive across the street, basically, to her house. And we got the babysitters ready to babysit. As babysitting is commencing, we've got Sam Loomis and Sheriff Brackett talking about Michael Myers, and Sheriff Brackett taking Sam to the house so they can look around and see what's going on, see if he's been there or not. And they come upon a dead dog that looks like it's been eaten. And Sam Loomis is like, he must have got hungry. No human person would do that. That's something an animal would do. And Sam Loomis is like, we're not talking about any human here. They go around, they go to Judith Myers' room, and they talk about how she was brushing her hair, and how he came through, and this, that, and the other, and a board falls down and breaks the window, and Sam Loomis jumps like he's shot, pulls his gun out, like he's going to shoot something, and he realizes there's nothing there, and he's like, oh, you must take me some kind of doctor carrying this thing around. I do have a permit. And doctor asks him about Michael Myers, and he's like, talk about him like he's a human. He gives the famous blackest eyes, devil's eyes quote, goes through how evil he is, and how he stared through a wall looking at this night, and this, that, and the other, and how he's never talked, and how evil he is, and how he's not a person no more, how he's the embodiment of evil, and he needs to be stopped. And then we cut back to we don't cut back to yet. You see him leave the house, and Sam's like, well, I'm gonna wait here just in case if he gets back. And Sheriff Brackett's like, well, I gotta make sure everything's okay in that town for Halloween, so I'll be back in an hour, but don't move from here. So Sam agrees, and then we cut back to the to Lori Strode babysitting Tommy Doyle, and they're talking about I think she's reading him a book, and he's like, I don't like that book no more. And she's like, I thought you liked King Arthur, because he was reading King Arthur. And he's like, no, I like these books. And he pulls out some comic books, and she's like, why do you keep them underneath the couch? Because he pulls them out from underneath the couch, and he's like, well, Mama, you don't like me to have them. So, you know. And he's like, oh, I can see why. Ultraman, blah, 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 man, this, that, man. And yeah. And then we cut over to Annie, and she's babysitting Lindsay, and she talks to Lori on the phone, this, that, and the other, and she's like, I talked to Ben Tramer, and Lori's like, no, please don't talk to Ben Tramer. He's like, I already have, but he went out drinking with his buddies. I can't do nothing about it yet until he gets back. Oh, I wish you wouldn't talk to him. I'm so embarrassed. I wouldn't be able to see him again. And about that time, you hear Annie go, oh, fucking shit. Well, she didn't say fuck, but she says shit. And it's like, oh, no, it's not you. It's not you, Lori. I spilled some stupid butter on my clothes. I have to call you back. And we ensue the old, and before this, as Annie's talking to Lori, you hear the dog, and they hear the dog barking outside, and it's like, Lindsay, get the dog, fucking dog's being loud. Then about that time you hear, and Annie's like, well, at least somebody's getting something, because apparently, before what happened, she got a call from her boyfriend, and he got in trouble, and they couldn't see each other. Boo-hoo, boo-hoo. But what happened to the dog was Michael Myers killed him because he was annoying Michael out in the backyard while Michael was watching her. And this is weird. She takes the her clothes and everything to the laundry room, which is not in the house or in the basement, but is like in the backyard, a good walk away, like you'd be walking to your shed or something. You know, so she has to literally walk 20 feet to the washer and dryer, go into the little shack, put her stuff in, then accidentally locks herself in and has Lindsay let her out. And about that time, Paul calls, which is her boyfriend, and then Lindsay answers the phone. Oh, she was stuck in the window of the washroom and hands the phone to Annie after Annie's like, don't tell nobody. Talk to Paul. Come to find out Paul's parents are gone so he can sneak out. And so she's going to go get Paul, but Lindsay doesn't want to go. So she finds a way to pawn off Lindsay onto Lori. It's like, Lori, if you let Lindsay stay over here with Tommy, because she wants to, because before that she sees Lindsay and she's like, you want me to find a way to make it to where you can watch the rest of this movie with Tommy Doyle? And Lindsay's like, yes, please, yes, because apparently Lindsay has a crush on Tommy. So Annie takes her over to Tommy's house. Annie strikes a deal with Lori. It's like, if you watch the kid while I go get my boyfriend, I'll consider talking to Ben Tramer in the morning and tell him to, you know, I was just joking around. So Lori agrees, and Annie leaves and says, I'll call you when I get back, because Linda and her boyfriend Bob are supposed to be around too, so I'll just give you a call. And about that time, she goes home, gets the keys to the, goes home, sings a little song about her and her Paul, and then realizes she doesn't have the keys to her car, because she tries to open the door, and it's locked. So she goes and gets her keys, and then as she's getting in the car, she doesn't unlock the door, she just opens the door, which is funny, because it's like the door was locked, but she doesn't think anything of it. Gets in the car, tries to wipe the window off, because it's all foggy, and she says, what the hell is going on? And about that time, Penny! Michael Myers appears in from the back seat and chokes Annie to death. And then chokes her to death. And, you know, she fades out and falls forward on the horn. And you... for the longest time. And then Michael's like, it's annoying, stop it. Takes him out and carries her inside the house. About that time, Tommy Doyle decided to try to scare little Lindsay. And as he's trying to scare her, he turns around and sees the boogeyman for the second time, because he's already seen him earlier, but, you know, nobody believes him because he's the only one that's seen the boogeyman. And since he's a kid, you know, it must be imaginary. But he's like, the boogeyman's going inside the house out of there. And nobody can see it. And Lori gets all mad and is like, oh, why'd you try to scare Lindsay? And Lindsay's like, oh, I believe you, Tommy. He's like, oh my God, come on, he just tried to scare you, little girl, but oh well. Then a little time passes and this, that, and the other, and Linda and Bob show up. They make their way into the house, let themselves in the house. Either the door was unlocked or Annie let them know where a secret key was. So they let themselves in the house and they end up calling Lori. He's like, oh, what's going on? Where's Annie and Lindsay at? And Lori lets him know that Annie went to get Paul and Lindsay's over there. So, you know, yay. So they Linda hangs up the phone. It's like, we got the house all to ourselves for an hour or two, because Annie's coming back with Paul and Lindsay is over with Lori. So they do their thing. So they go back up, start making out, and or Linda and Bob start making out, and they go upstairs and find a bed, which it looks like they picked the mother's bed or the parents' bed. Yeah, which is funny. And as they're making out and go upstairs, you see Michael Myers in the house. Like, oh, really? You guys are in my house. They go up there and do their business, and you see, you know, some sex and whatnot. Well, you know, some dry humping, basically. And they do the old, go get me a beer. Go get me a beer. Give me a beer. So they go, so Bob's like, all right, I'll go get us a beer. And they go get a beer. And about that time, you know, Bob goes, gets a beer, and he pulls a beer out, and he pulls a couple beers out. And looks like he just helps himself to, either they put beers in that was done off camera, or he's just helping himself to the house's beer, which is not cool. But, oh well. He's grabbing a couple beers, and about that time he turns around because he hears a sound, you know, a dunk dunk or something. He's like, is that you, Annie? Is that you, Paul? You guys, this is funny, ha ha. And he opens up the cabinet, he opens up the pantry door, and Michael Myers comes out, stabs him. Stab, stab. Well, only one big stab, right in the gut and sternum area. Then lifts him up and sticks him onto the wall and kind of hangs him about a foot off the floor. And just cocks his head sideways like, huh, well, that's interesting. Apparently decides to put a sheet on because he goes upstairs to greet Linda, and there's a ghost mask there, or ghost, or a sheet over someone with glasses on, and it looks like Bob's playing a joke on Linda, and Linda's like, well, where's my beer? You're just gonna stand there? You're not gonna talk to me? Guess you're not gonna fucking talk to me. Where's my beer? But before all this, she's like, see anything you like? And drops her top, and you kind of see boobs. You don't really see him until she starts getting choked later, which, spoiler alert, whoever's under the blanket is Michael Myers. But she goes over to the phone and calls Lori, and as Lori picks up the phone, Michael Myers starts choking her. It's like, and Lori's like, Annie, is that you, Linda? First I get your famous chewing, now I get your famous choking and moaning. Linda? Annie? What's going on? So she takes her house keys with her and tells Tommy and them to lock. He goes and checks on Tommy and Lindsay, who is asleep in the bed. So she goes outside and goes across the street and see if everything's okay at the house that Linda was calling from. Entering the house, it's all dark, and she's just like, Linda, guys, Bob, Annie, somebody. And she's kind of scoping out the house, and there's nobody there, and goes up to the main master bedroom, and she slowly opens the door, and she sees Annie's body laid out on the parents' bed with Judith Myers' headstone at the head of the bed, and she's like, oh my god, ah! Starts to cry, and she backs up, and boom, Bob's body falls down from inside of a closet nearby, and then she moves around and says, holy shit, and she bumps into something, and a door opens, and there's Linda's body all stuffed into a small little cubbyhole type thing. Almost looks like her head's popped off, but it's not, because she's all mangled up in there, and she's like, holy shit, starts crying and whatnot, and she gets to the edge of the, gets to the hall, end of the hallway, and goes to walk out, and the famous scene with the dimmer light, where he kind of appears out of nowhere, basically, comes in, stab! Well, kind of scrape stabs her in the shoulder, and she tumbles down the stairs, thum, 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 and messes her knee up. Or her leg, one of the two, but it's more of her ankle. And I guess upon falling down the stairs and everything, she loses her keys because she gets her way out of the house and whatnot, and she has to, makes the front door is locked up, so she makes her way around the back, and there's a rake holding the doors shut, and as Michael Myers is making his way to her and busting down the doors and whatnot, she puts in his way. She breaks the glass of the back kitchen door and removes the rake and leaves and runs across the street screaming, help me! Help me! Help me! And nobody seems to help her. I don't know if they think it's a Halloween prank or what, but they just turn the lights on, look out the window, and then turn the lights off. I don't know. It's weird. But then she finally makes it back to her house, bangs on the door, reaches in her pocket looking for her keys, and apparently, like I said, she lost them in the scuffles, so she has to bang on the door and wake up Tommy Doyle and him, picks up a potted plant and throws it at the window, wakes up Tommy and Lindsay, and Tommy comes down, oh, okay, I'm coming down. He doesn't know the severity of the matter, because as she's banging on the door, Michael Myers is making his slow but steady and purposeful march across the street, and so he can kill Lori. But Tommy opens the door and lets it in, and she's like, get upstairs, lock the door, blah, blah, blah. And about that time, she hides behind the couch. And then I'm pretty sure he breaks in the door and then grabs at Lori, and she ends up stabbing him in the eye with a sewing needle, and goes upstairs and gets the kids and like, I got him, I killed him, I killed the boogeyman. And Tommy's like, you can't kill the boogeyman. Well, I did. And about that time, Michaels is upstairs, and Tommy points like, no, behind you. So gets the kids in, and they go up and gets the kids in one room, locks the door, and she runs into the other one and hides in the closet. Then you hear Michael Myers traipsing around in there from her point of view, and he tries to open the door, and then we have the infamous closet scene where he's reaching in there trying to grab her, turns the light off, and she grabs a wire hanger and straightens the hook out, and bam, right in his throat. Or maybe even his eye again. No, I was wrong. Earlier was in his throat, and this one straight in the eye. Blam! And she grabs the knife he drops after she sticks him in the eye with the coat hanger and stabs him. Looks like either in the throat or the chest, and he's down. So she gets Tommy and Lindsay out of the room and tells them to go down the street to the McKenzies and call the police. As all this is happening, you see Sam Loomis walking around just like, I'm too tired to just stand here. I wonder what's going on. and he just kind of looks around the neighborhood and he sees the Smith Girls car and he's, oh shit, starts walking down the walking down the block. I see the car, what's going on? And about that time police officer Sheriff Brackett's like, comes pulling up. He's like, I didn't see you at the Myers house, what the hell's going on? He's like, I seen the car over there, three blocks back. I've been walking up and down the street trying to figure out what's going on. You take the back to the houses, I'll take the front. And as Sheriff Brackett moves on, about that time Tommy Doyle and Lindsay come running out of the house where Michael Myers and Laurie Strode's at, just screaming, help, help me. So Sam Loomis is like, I think I know where he's at. Then starts heading that way. Then we see Laurie sit down. She's taking a brief respite because she's just fought the boogeyman, so to speak. And you can see beautifully in the background with a nice forced perspective and depth of field. Michael Myers just sit up, kind of like the Undertaker. Well, I think the Undertaker stolen it from him. You know, the old sit up just whoop, looks where Laurie Strode's at, and Laurie Strode gets up and goes out in the hallway. And then about that time, he jumps in the hallway and grabs her by the throat and starts choking her. And she grabs his mask and yanks it off of him, and he's like, oh, nope, gotta put the mask back on. And as he's putting the mask back on, Sam Loomis is up the stairs and sees him, and boom, fires a shot, knocks him away, and then boom, fires another shot, and then boom, 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 boom. If you count in the movie, he shoots him once and then shoots him six more times after that. Unless if Sam Loomis has a seven-shot revolver, he technically shoots him seven times, so I'm going to assume Sam quickly reloaded the extra shot while Michael Myers was kind of dazed from the first so he can get all six shots off. I don't know, but he technically shoots him seven times, because there's the initial shot to back him up, and then there's the six shots that shoot him off the balcony, because, you know, I counted him. It was like, bang, one, and then in front of the balcony where the window's at, bang, one, two, three, four, five, six, click, 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 click. He only should have been able to shoot five, but apparently he reloaded. I'm going to assume he reloaded in between transitions there real quickly, which would be a hell of a feat, but I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. He is Samuel Loomis. And you see Laurie Strode just kind of freaking out, look up at Sam Loomis and go, that was the boogeyman, wasn't it? And he's like, a matter of fact, it was. And then we cut to Laurie Strode being loaded into the ambulance and everything. Or we don't cut to that. What am I doing? That's the beginning of two. Then we cut to a still shot of the living room where he got stabbed. A still shot of the hallway where Laurie Strode fell down the stairs, the stairwell and everything. And a still shot of pretty much everywhere in the movie that the shape was at. And John Carpenter said this was to illustrate that evil is always somewhere and always everywhere. He really didn't want to do a sequel. He would just say that, yeah, this is just me illustrating that evil is everywhere and it can't be stopped. According to him, Michael Myers should be dead after this one. But they did a 2018 one, so, you know. Maybe he'll do the second one to that and actually kill him off. Oh, well. This looks like this is going to be one of the shorter ones. Looks like I'm just now hitting 36 minutes. This was done in a couple of different sections. Apparently, what else can I say about this movie that already hasn't been said? So I'm just kind of trying to pad the end out here to get close to 40 minutes here and there. So, you know, thanks for listening to the full movie cast of Halloween 1978. This is Randall Wayne Snodgrass II, and this was 10 Years Gone, or so.